John chapter 1, 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Dear visitor, have you been born again, even as Jesus describes in John 3:3? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ gives us the power to become the sons of God and calls this place born again. Imagine such a verse as 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. At born again, you will be born a most literal second time, this time of the Spirit of God. At born again, everything becomes new, a new father, a new name, a new birth certificate certified and posted in the Lamb's Book of Life, a new power and boldness, a new sparkling and glorious purpose, and a new promise of immortality restored. In just moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt. And if you follow from your heart, everything changes today. Today, all your sins will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. Today, all Satan's bondages in your life will be broken. Today, you will be Holy Ghost clean and free. Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis chapter 1, 7 and 8, And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, Genesis 2, 5 and 6, And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. God said, Genesis 2, 17, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man said, If God authored the Bible, where are all the God-inspired truths in this first book, Genesis? There isn't any. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1,275 that will once again certify the bona fides of God's beautiful book. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and to be used as ammunition in the battle for the lost sons and daughters of Adam. Thank you for coming. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. You have arrived at the God Said, Mad Said Genesis series. This is part 55. Each of these features begins with the following information from the first feature. According to a 2006 issue of Discover magazine concerning the deceased Carl Sagan, Sagan approaches religion like any phenomenon. He isn't on a quest for life's meaning, for a comforting philosophy, or even a guide to how we should treat the neighbors. Sagan seeks truth of a demonstrable kind. As a puckish example, he wonders why the book of Genesis didn't include God-inspired truths, end of quote. The born-again scratched their heads in bewilderment. Did these folks actually read the book of Genesis? For the first 45 features of the Genesis series, we poured through reams of information, boiling it all down to a manageable weekly presentation. From there, it took us 9 weeks of summations, boiling these 45 features down even more. And now, we are entering the final 3 weeks of summation of summations, where we will render the original content into a powerful soundbite, God-inspired truth stacked. Feature number one, soundbite number one, Psalms 33:6. Everything is literally made of words. Even your DNA gives its building instructions using a four-letter alphabet formed in words, sentences, paragraphs, chapters, and volumes. Just like Genesis says, God inspired truth. Number two, the earth, in fact, has a beginning, just like Genesis 1:1 reports. Until the 1960s, evolutionists believed that the earth was simply always here. Well, not anymore. Number three, the earth is young. Bishop Usher, famed chronologist, puts the beginning on September 21, 4004 BC on the calendar that we still use today. Add 4004 to the year 2025, and we're talking 6,029 years of time. And certainly, we certify it. You'll be shocked. Visit the feature. Feature number two, soundbite number four. God said, "Let there be light," on the very first day of creation. Yet the sun, moon, and stars were not created until day four. Biblical skeptics railed on such a claim, but not anymore. Now they theorize that there was light before the sun. Oh, yeah, just like Genesis says. Number five, science has concluded that light is sacred, even immortal, and that is certainly true. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 declares, God is light. Number six, John 1, verse 9 speaks of Jesus Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This Christ was the true light on the first day of creation that lights every man that comes into the world. Biologists shook the world when they discovered that a flash of light springs forth at the moment that sperm and egg come together. This is the place of conception. Number seven. Physicists now know that all physical things are created by energy, which is photons, light packages from the sun. And of course it's true. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, again, God is light. Feature number three, soundbite number eight. Genesis reports a water canopy existed above the sky until it came down in the days of Noah in the flood. This water canopy created a global greenhouse effect which made the whole world tropical. Sound fantastical? But that is exactly what geologists have discovered. Even the Arctic was once tropical, which you may have noticed is just like Genesis said. Number nine, a water canopy meant that no rain was recorded until Noah's flood. Every day was a beautiful postcard perfect sky and a perfect temperature. The earth was watered with the mist each morning. Number 10, the water canopy allowed for an average pre-Noah lifespan of 912 years. Science and ancient history confirm it. Number 11, the water canopy's 13 times longer lifespan attached to reptiles, which never stopped growing, created some extremely large reptiles. Think of today's modern Chinese monitor lizard, which grows up to 12 feet. With a 13 times longer lifespan, it would grow to 156 feet and be three stories high. Number 12. Now think of the water canopy and the Neanderthal's protruding brow. A human head does not stop growing as we age. Number 13. And this water canopy can be traced through ancient societal records. The ancient civilizations of Babylon, Egypt, Greece, India, Hawaii, Indonesia, Europe, Asia, and Australia testify of a water canopy above the firmament, just like the Bible said. Feature number four, soundbite 14. In the beginning, the entire earth was covered with water. On day three, God separated the water from the dry land, and now critics demand to know where all that water went. Well, sorry to the critics, but that water didn't go anywhere. If the earth were smooth like a ball, the water would sit 2 miles high above it. Number 15, where did all the water go? Geologists have discovered ringwoodite, which makes up specific rocks deep in the earth's mantle, and it stores up water like a sponge. The ringwoodite in the earth's mantle may hold as much water as all the oceans combined. Read Job 38:30. Number 16, the word kind is used 10 times in Genesis chapter 1. as example, verse 24, let the earth bring forth living creature after its kind. Dr. Henry M. Morse of the Institute for Creation Research reports, this system allows wide horizontal variation with the kind, but no vertical evolution from one kind into a more complex kind, end of quote. In other words, dogs do not beget cats. Feature number 5, soundbite number 17. Moses pens the book of Genesis. God tells Moses 7 times to write his instructions. Genesis is not handed down from generation to generation, but is an exact account given by God, who has perfect recall. Number 18. On day 4, God created stars. Skeptics deny God's authorship of the Bible and assert that the writers of the Bible had no idea of the heavens and the vast inventory of stars and planets, which would be true if man were the author. The Bible clearly addresses stars by name and constellations and tells us the stars are innumerable. Science agrees. Soundbite number 19. Academics know. They know it is the anthropic principle, which means that the earth and its universe is fine-tuned for the benefit of man. Evolutionists claim this fine-tuning is a result of fortuitous accidents stacked upon each other, one lucky succession of chance. The prophet Isaiah pens it like this in chapter 45, verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. Feature number 6, soundbite 20. Genesis repetitively reports that God created everything after its kind, variation amongst the kind, but no evolution from one kind unto another kind. Dr. Duane Gish writes in his book, The Amazing Story of Creation from Science in the Bible. This is what he says. The truth is not one single fossil intermediate or transitional form between the microscopic single-celled creatures and the complex invertebrates has ever been found. Soundbite 21. Genesis reports that God created the whale on the 5th day of creation, and that has evolutionists perplexed. How did this mammal get back into the water after going through all the effort to evolve out of it? Their solution to this conundrum is that an even-toed mammal like a water buffalo, giraffe, or camel spent too much time around the water and evolved into a whale to live in the water full-time. Sound convincing to you? Soundbite 22. Dr. John F. Ashton, author of the book Evolution Impossible, reiterates, as we have noted in earlier chapters, not only is there no known mechanism for producing new meaningful genetic information, but also it has never been observed to occur. Number 23. Evolutionists have fully discounted the Genesis record of after its kind and have concluded that your first cousin was a mushroom, your second cousin a banana, and your father was a monkey. 24. Prominent evolutionary biologist Dr. Richard Sternberg asks hard-hitting questions. How could this process alone have produced fully aquatic cetaceans, whales, with their multiple anatomical novelties requiring many hundreds, even thousands of adaptive changes in less than 2 million years, even less than 9 million years? I'm saying it doesn't add up. Feature number 7, soundbite 25. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Man possesses colossal capabilities that no other creation of God possesses. We were created with God-like attributes. 26, we have God-like capabilities between our ears. Stanford University found that a single human brain has more switches than all the computers in the world combined. 27. A godlike brain, remember this when you hear this quote from the book Switch on Your Brain regarding the subconscious mind. This level operates at about 400 billion actions per second and drives the conscious cognitive level. It operates 24 hours a day. Soundbite 28. Neurological scientists were awestruck. Sprinkled around the globe, they discovered individuals who had experienced some type of traumatic event after which displayed savant-like skills while still maintaining all their other faculties. 29, August 2014, Scientific American published an article headlined Accidental Genius, addressing the condition of acquired savantism. An excerpt. The brain may come loaded with a set of innate predispositions for processing or for understanding the rules of music, art, or mathematics. Our godlike brain has been downloaded by our creator. Number 30. The following information is 15 to 20 years old, but you get the idea. Imagine your brain weighs only 3 pounds, yet a computer with the same number of bits would be 100 stories tall and cover the state of Texas. Do you need more proof that your brain is made in God's likeness? Then consider this. To build a building 100 stories tall that would cover the state of Texas and then fill it with information bits would cost more than the aggregate wealth of the world. Your godlike brain has infinite capabilities and is beyond price. Did I mention there are over 8 billion of these brains upon this earth? Feature number 8, Soundbite 31. In the beginning, Genesis says all of creation from blind to man was vegetarian-fruitarian. Paleontologist Greg Buckley and his colleagues unearthed an ancient crocodile fossil, that had them all scratching their heads. The crocodile they found had flat teeth like a horse. It was a vegetarian. Number 32. The July-August 2024 issue of Scientific American headlined with The New Science of Health and Appetite. The subhead of the feature reads, What Humans Really Evolved to Eat and How Food Affects Our Health Today. An excerpt follows For the entire first half of our known history, hominids seem to have maintained this plant-based diet. They left no material trace of meat eating. 33. One thing anthropologists got right is that we didn't begin as carnivores, Genesis 1:29 through 30. Yes, all creatures, from lion to man, and even the crocodile, were once all on a plant-based diet, just like God said. Feature number 9, Soundbite 34. The primacy of the number 7 is established in the creation week in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. God worked 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Life in general revolves around 7. 35. The leaders of the communist revolution could not abide the 7-day week. To them, it was simply an example of Sunday school foolishness. In 1792, the socialists of France, in rebellion against the 7-day week, instituted a new calendar with a 10-day week. It created national confusion and was discarded 14 years later. In 1929, the communist leadership of Russia, in an effort to destroy any attachment to the Bible, instituted a 5-day week, which was in the trash can just 3 years later. The unbelievers have never been deep thinkers. Soundbite number 36. 7 is the number of rest and completion. Jesus Christ is both of these. He is rest for the soul in Matthew 11:28-30, and again in Hebrews 3:18-19. 7 is also the number of completion. God completed his work and rested on day 7. Jesus made this telling statement on Calvary in John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus is imprinted on the number 7. Soundbite 37. It is said that the 7-day cycle is not a product of culture. To the contrary, culture is a product of 7. Even the lunar month houses roughly 4 7-day weeks. Plants, insects, and animals also have 7-day cycles. 38. All of creation, including a whole society of approximately 8 billion people, marches to the beat of a 7-day rhythm. This biological clock is the handiwork of God. Feature number 10, Soundbite 39. Genesis 3:19, In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. No matter how lofty, sanctimonious, or sophisticated the man purports himself to be, he is, upon final analysis, just a walking, talking lump of time-limited recycled mud. Number 40. As if the biblical tale of man's creation from the dust of the ground were haunting their unconscious minds, NASA chemists have presented evidence that life on Earth may have gotten its start in clay. They have shown that clays attract the organic molecules that make up protein and DNA, the ingredients of life, possibly from the sea during high tides. The ability of clays to store energy, catalyze reactions, and perhaps self-replicate all attributes of living systems is forcing us to re-examine at a very fundamental level the definition of life. 41. The ancient Miatsu people, non-Judeo-Christian, of China, have chronicled their lineage back to Japheth, the son of Noah, and from there all the way back to the world's first man, whom their genealogical record calls Dirt. Soundbite 42. In his book, The Maker's Diet, author J. Rubin writes, Dr. Stracton proposed that society's growing separation from dirt and germs may well be the cause of weaker immune systems, resulting in the growing incidence of a wide range of maladies. Dr. Stracton advanced the over-cleanliness theory. Near-epidemic waves of diseases, all but unheard of in previous generations, are striking modern societies around the world. They are still virtually unknown in primitive societies today, although. If Dr. Stracton is right, and a growing number of scientists and medical researchers believe he is, then dirt, or to be more specific, the microbes in Earth's soil, may be some of our best friends. A recent report in New Scientist said researchers have discovered that microorganisms found in dirt influence maturation of the immune system so that it is either functional or dysfunctional, end of quote. Adam, Mr. Dirt, absolutely. Number 43, the earth always reclaims its own. Man eats a hole in the dirt, and he fills it back up once he dies. And unto dust shalt thou return, Genesis 3, verse 19. Feature number 11, soundbite 44. Why the nostrils? Why does the Bible say, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul? Was this statement that was written thousands of years ago written by mere men? What natural man could know the enormous depths of this statement and know them many centuries before medical science would begin to know the reasons why? 45. Except in emergencies, when heavenly congested, when existing, exercising, rigorously, or yawning, we were designed to breathe through our nostrils. The nostrils prepare the air for the lungs by removing foreign particles of dust and other contaminants from it, and by warming and humidifying it. Breathing through the nostrils is also very important for the proper mix of oxygen and carbon dioxide in the blood and overall general health. The scriptures record that life is in the blood, and the nostrils play a critical part. Soundbite 46. According to an article titled Optimal Breathing on the internet at breathing.com, nose breathing 24 hours per day is important if you desire a long and healthy life. The following excerpts are from that article. The lungs are primary control of our energy level. They extract oxygen from the air we breathe primarily on the exhale. Because the nostrils are smaller than the mouth, air exhaled through the nose creates back pressure when one exhales. It slows the air escape, so the lungs have more time to extract oxygen from them. When there is proper oxygen-carbon dioxide exchange, the blood will retain a balanced pH. If carbon dioxide is lost too quickly, as in mouth breathing, oxygen absorption is decreased. Nose breathing is also known to reduce hypertension and stress for most people, and also reduces loud snoring, sleep apnea, and heart conditions. The Creator certainly knew his business when he chose the nostrils as the conduits for the breath of life. You basically breathe through one nostril at a time. The time one nostril dominates is between 1 and 3 hours. This nasal rhythm is known to increase the EEG amplitude in the brain's opposite hemisphere. Medical science is just beginning to get a grip on this principle. Feature number 12, soundbite 47. Note, various research exists that points to a once very real Garden of Eden, just like Genesis records. But do keep in mind that the global flood would have changed the topography. There was such a place, though. 48. The following excerpts are from the Haley Bible's handbook. The particular spot which tradition has fixed as the site of the Garden of Eden is a group of mounds 12 miles south of Ur, known as Eridu or Abu Sharem. It was the home of Adapa, the Babylonian Adam. The Weld Prism says the first two kings in history reigned at Eridu. Ancient Babylonian inscriptions say near Eridu was a garden in which was a mysterious sacred tree, a tree of life planted by the gods, whose roots were deep, while its branches reached to heaven and protected by guardian spirits, and no man enters. The ruins of Eridu were excavated by Hall and Thompson of the British Museum, 1918 and 1919. They found indications that it had been a prosperous city, revered as the original home of man. 49. The Jerusalem Post, February 1, 1999, broke the story in the article Paradise Found. This is what they said. 10 miles from the sprawling Iranian industrial city of Tabriz, to the northwest of Tehran, says British archaeologist David Rawl, he has found the site of the biblical garden. As you descend a narrow mountain path, you see a beautiful alpine valley, just like the Bible describes it, with terraced orchards on its slopes, crowded with every kind of fruit-laden tree, says Rawl, a scholar of University College London, who has just returned from his third trip to the area where mud brick villages flourish today. Number 50. The article Scientific Search for the Garden of Eden, subhead The Remarkable Geological and Geographical Accuracy in Genesis 2, was written by Dave Armstrong and published January 18, 2022. Some excerpts follow. The Garden of Eden was a historical place. One reason for this belief is because the Bible gives its geographic location. Two of the names of the four rivers mentioned in Genesis 2, 10 through 14, had been preserved from biblical times. According to the Bible, the Garden of Eden was located somewhere in southern Iraq, where the Euphrates and Hiddekel, now Tigris, rivers flowed into the head of the Persian Gulf. That is, they flowed on a modern landscape that is still recognizable today. All four rivers, or now dry riverbeds, of Genesis are still there. That is, the Genesis writer identified a modern landscape, one which is almost identical, that which still exists in the Iraq, Arabia, Iran area today. Feature 13, soundbite 51. How bizarre is Genesis 2, 8, and 9, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A tree of life that if you ate of it, you would live forever? Can we find a remnant of that tree? While searching for this miracle tree, we find in scriptures, in history, and in medical science, a tree that stands a giant over all others. The tree is the olive tree. Soundbite 52. The olive tree and its oil are endorsed hundreds of times in the Word of God. It was olive oil that fueled the holy flame that burned continually before the veil of God's most holy place, Exodus 27:20. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies beyond the veil. The two doors at the entrance were made of the wood of the olive tree, 1 Kings 6:32. Above the Ark of the Covenant, which was the spiritual center of the tabernacle of God, were the wings of two cherubims, also made of the olive tree, 1 Kings 6:23 28. Soundbite 53. In James 5, verse 14, the elders in the house of God are directed to anoint the sick with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Even salvation itself and entrance into the body of Christ are compared to the olive tree in Romans 11, 16 through 18. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. There is no tree in the scriptures like the glorious olive. 54. And the test tube olive leaf extract has been found to be effective against nearly 90 viruses, retroviruses, bacterium, parasites, yeast, protozoans, fungi, molds, and other microbes and diseases. Just a few that you may be familiar with are anthrax, botulism, chickenpox, chlamydia, Ebola, hepatitis A, B, and C, and more. Number 55. The olive tree, its oil, its fruit, and its leaves have been highly endorsed for treating AIDS, HIV, Epstein-Barr, herpes, sore throats, chronic sinusitis, tonsillitis, bronchitis, pneumonia, skin infections, cancers, heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, arthritis, and more. The tree of life. Feature number 14, Soundbite 56, Genesis 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Was there such a tree? 57. So in an act of unbelief and its subsequent disobedience, Eve ate of the forbidden fruit from the forbidden tree, thus opening the door for all sin and death. Science knows this as the second law of thermodynamics, which states that everything goes from order to disorder, from life unto death. Everything bears the deadly effects of the forbidden tree. Number 58. Many ancient societal records tell a similar story, with one of the most famous being Pandora's Box. HarperCollins Dictionary of Religion writes, Pandora, in Greek myth the first woman, made from earth and imbued by all the gods with various charms, hence her name, sent by Zeus in revenge for Prometheus's theft of fire, she unlocked evils for mortals by opening a fatal jar, later called Pandora's Box. Of course, all evil and death proceeded from that. Number 59. Author Bruce Malone writes for Search for the Truth and states, but is there any evidence that this momentous event, when mankind reached up into a tree to grab a forbidden fruit while being tempted by Satan in the form of a snake, is real? We find exactly that in an ancient bronze statue of a tree found buried in the ruins near Guanghan, China. Coming from the very center of the tree is a long snake-like body, but his snake still has legs near its head, and the snake is glaring down near a human hand with its large evil eyes and bared teeth. Lastly, the bronze statue has a human hand reaching toward the tree near the serpent's head. Number 60. And like the tree of life, are there remnants of its legacy hidden in plain view? God said, man said, can't certify the perfect candidate, but I can think of one that projects the idea well, the marijuana tree. Marijuana is known as the gateway drug that has opened the door to ruin and doom for untold millions. Consider the excerpt from the God Said, Man Said feature, Instant Genius. The headline from England's Daily Mail concerning the use of marijuana reads, smoking just one cannabis joint raises danger of mental health by 40%. Soundbite 61. Famed ancient historian Flavius Josephus wrote the following in his Antiquities of the Jews concerning Eve and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the tree sharpened their understanding, end of quote. Surely there was such a tree. Feature number 15, Soundbite 62. According to the world's academics, the biblical declaration that Adam and Eve were created to live forever is ludicrous, and immortality is a Sunday school myth. Well, not anymore. In the halls of medical science, immortality has been upgraded to a theoretical possibility. 63. The following excerpt is from the article in U.S. News & World Report titled, The Cells of Immortality. It reads, The discovery of biological clocks ticking away in each of our cells and a knowledge of how to reset those clocks opened the possibility that a human would never die, at least not from old age. 64. World-renowned Dr. Sanjay Gupta, wrote the following in his book, Chasing Life. All over the world and right in your backyard, there are people who are steadily pushing back the frontier of aging. They are not content to simply wither away, becoming frail and feeling worthless. Instead, they are achieving a sort of practical immortality, living as long as they want to live and dying only when they are through living. Immortality is on the horizon, and it is within our reach for the first time. End of quote. Soundbite 65. And lastly, how about some headlines? Popular Science, August 2011. The Man Who Would Stop Time. Life Extension, February 2013. How Engineered Stem Cells May Enable Youthful Immortality. Psychology Today, March, April 2015. Tinkering with Mortality. Life Extension, August 2016. A New Era, Curing Aging in Our Lifetime. Daily Mail, March 2023. Humans will achieve immortality in 8 years, says former Google engineer who has predicted the future with 86% accuracy. New Scientist, October 2024. This puts a pin in their balloon, doesn't it? Life expectancy growth is slowing, and few people will live to 100. Immortality has always been the promise and certain expectation of the blood-bought. We know it as the blessed hope. John 11:25-26, our Lord says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? This anchor promise becomes mine at the place Jesus calls born again. If you have yet to be born a second time, click on the Further with Jesus and settle the issue now. God said, Genesis 1:7-8, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, Genesis 2:5-6, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. God said, Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man said, if God authored the Bible, where are all the God-inspired truths in this first book, Genesis? There isn't any. Now you have the record.